Hey everyone, welcome to Neighbor Science. I'm Ryan Salisbury.
Hey everyone, welcome to Neighbor Science, and I'm Peter DeBeer.
Starting off great today. So I've been getting a lot of DMs from people who are proving to me with logic and facts that my rap name is wrong. You know, I call myself Assault Rifle, but actually it's supposed to be Armalite Rifle. I'll make sure to correct that in the episode title, and you'll have to redo the cover for that episode. I've also been informed that that AR-15 actually stands for Armalite Rifle 105,000. Not a lot of people know that the numbers themselves are actually abbreviations for larger numbers. So the 100 is the number of tries that Edison made at developing the light bulb. And the 5,000 is the number of AR-15s that they expected to sell. So fun fact for everyone there.
That actually, like, I'm going to sleep better tonight knowing that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Like, why would they call it Armalite Rifle 15? That's stupid. What a dumb name.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
like, where were the other 14 previous versions?
Yeah. Like, we're supposed to believe they made 14 other rifles? Are you kidding me? There's no way.
Yeah.
It's like you make one rifle, they're all the same.
Exactly.
That's why everyone has the AR-50, because they're all the same thing, you know? There's no point in making different ones.
Yeah.
You got your AK-47. You got your AR-15. You got Mossberg 500. You got a Desert Eagle. You know? Those are all the rifles that will ever be made.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Sorry, I think you're wrong. I think there's also a Glock.
That's true. There is the Glock, yeah. The official rifle of rap.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just had to get that out of the way. That's not what we're talking about today. We're not talking about gun stuff. Because, you know, everyone's been talking about it. You know, Peter and I are both on the same page. You should only be allowed to own a lever action rifle, and that's it. You know, nothing else. Not much to talk about there.
The only exception to that is obviously that you're I fully advocate that everybody have a Super Soaker flamethrower.
Yeah, of course. Goes without saying.
Yeah. But I mean, just in case people think that we're sending out mixed messages, because I have on numerous occasions in the past told many people, not online but in person, that I advocate for the Super Soaker flamethrower, which is
and then obviously
pending.
We're not saying that cops shouldn't be armed with miniguns like in Predator, but
I mean,
we're not gonna waste our time talking about shit that is obviously like implied by what we're saying, you know.
Yeah, we are not here to state the obvious, people. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so
just had to get that clerical shit out of the way.
Today, I've got my own little clerical note here.
Okay.
That actually relates to what we're talking to about today. It relates to what we... Anyway. I've also been getting a lot of DMs from people who want to know when we are finally going to do... our CASP episodes, I just wanted to let everyone know that we are working on writing down the first sentence of the first episode. It may take us a while, especially considering the fact that we're probably looking at a 4 to 5 episode series that we'll be doing on Capitalist Power, but it is in the works. And for that one other guy that keeps messaging me the same thing again and again and again, Ryan has already gotten on board. He's already started doing the show notes for when we're going to discuss One Punch Man. So, you can stop messaging me now. You're driving me nuts. Okay, cool.
Yeah, sorry for sending you all those DMs, Peter.
Oh.
That's my bad.
Okay. Yeah, I really should read people's handles.
Well, I was using an alt. that I created specifically for that purpose. But now that you've agreed to it, I can, you know, reveal that it was me the whole time.
Oh, awesome. Well, yeah. in that case, could you stop messaging me, please?
Yeah, no, I'm going to. Jeez, chill out, man.
Yeah, it's just
it's
like...
not that bad.
300 messages a day is not that bad? I mean, my God.
Dude, do you think I was sending those, like, manually? I obviously, you know, took a week to write a Twitter bot to do that so that I wouldn't have to spend a lot of time on it.
That's awesome.
I had to use all of my remaining PTO, but well worth it, because now we're going to do a One Punch Man episode. So
yeah, well, not now.
Now who looks like an idiot?
Well, you, because you just said that we're doing it now, and we're not doing that now. Now we're going to get into today's episode, which is all about the House of Mouse versus the world's largest online streaming service.
There is one more thing that I want to talk about before we get into that. And,
okay, cool.
So, you know, the president
of the United States.
Well, he's the only president. So, yeah, we're the only democracy in the world. So he's the only president. Anyway, he's going to be meeting with the Kim guy. Does Trump even know why other presidents have never met with the totalitarian, fascist, communist, brutal dictator of North Korea? Does he even know? Does he even know that? Does he know why? Does he?
Does Trump even know why
no one's ever met with the dictator of North Korea? I mean, does anyone? I don't actually know. So
I have a theory that one should never try to discuss peace with an enemy.
No.
That's not how you deal with enemies.
No, you crush them. That's
exactly
what you do.
Exactly. And that's what the whole world has done repeatedly.
Yeah.
Is crush.
Yeah, you invade their country, and then, you know, within a couple of months, you will have crushed them utterly, and then you leave, and then problem solved. So
exactly. And I mean, that was proved with Iraq and Afghanistan and Vietnam and
yeah. So if anyone knows why this President Trump Joker is actually, you know, not doing the obviously intelligent thing of not meeting with the totalitarian, fascist, communist, brutal dictator of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, go ahead and give me a call at 202-684-6108 and just let me know. You might hear some stuff about this is the District Sentinel rant line, but just ignore that. It's actually my phone number. I haven't gotten around to change the voicemail. It was actually owned by Sam Knight and Sam Sachs before, but you know, we traded. They got a better number, and so I just have to set up the voicemail box. But yeah, just start. You don't have to like say what you're calling about. Just start listing the reason that Trump is meeting with Kim Jong-un. Okay, so that's all I wanted to get out of the way.
Which and now you've brought up something that I've been meaning to bring up for a while now.
Oh, okay.
And it's the most interesting thing that I've come across in my entire time in the Middle East. And that is that phone numbers are really hot commodities for sale here.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, you've got an 8-digit phone number, and when they're really cool numbers like 3333444 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
People are willing to pay ridiculous amounts of money for that phone number.
That reminds me of this commercial that I saw in Austria for like this. It was like a phone sex line, and the way they said the number was like the funniest thing to me. Like the whole time I was there, it was like, you know, like whatever their 1-800 thing was, and then Fia Funf Sex Art Funf Sex. It was so fucking good.
That is good.
Yeah,
that
is good.
That actually makes me want to call an Austrian sex line.
Yeah.
okay. So, yeah, today we're going to be discussing Netflix versus Disney. For anyone who's been paying attention in the last roughly 2 years or so, you will have noticed that there is a power struggle building up in the media world. And it has recently come to the point where we felt that it was necessary to make a podcast about it, where we express our views, which will then be taken as gospel, and people will understand things better.
So my view on it is Harvey Weinstein is innocent. That's what we're talking about, right?
Oh no.
The power struggle between, oppressed sex criminals and powerful feminazis, right?
I actually think I want to leave that for another episode. Okay. And today I thought we were just going to talk about Netflix and Disney.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Sorry, I just I need
well,
to read
this. Well, I have all my notes are on the wrong thing, so I don't know how much of an episode we're going to be able to fill with that.
I hope you have
something.
Yeah, I've got a few small points here, okay. and you know, we've got there's plenty of information out there. We can Google stuff as we go, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, our episodes are generally so long, I don't think it'll be too bad to have one 30-minute episode in there, so we should be okay, I think.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what we end up with.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as I've said, we're talking about Netflix and Disney. But just to be clear why we're talking about Netflix and Disney. Mm-hmm. Like I said, power struggles within the media world are, we're now entering what should be the next 5 to 10 years of one of the biggest power struggles in media that we're likely to see in our lifetimes, which is much shorter for me than it will be for you. But I still think that we're unlikely to see another power struggle like this. Why was that funny? Why was that funny? You think it's funny that I'm going to die sooner than you?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, I suppose it is. It is.
I mean, also, I think you're overestimating how long I'm going to live, you know.
Well, I am a type 1 diabetic, and fair
That's
enough,
true.
you do drink enough to sort of...
Yeah,
drink.
I'm a type 0 alcoholic.
Yeah, and so. those are the most savage, so...
Yeah.
Like, I think you could honestly fit into an IRA cell.
Probably.
Okay. For those of you who aren't aware, Disney has spent the last almost decade steadily building up its assets. And don't get me wrong, they've spent their entire existence building up assets, and it's gotten to the point where the Walt Disney Corporation owns a massive amount of assets.
There was a bunch of stuff that I was surprised to hear about. I had no idea that they had a major stake in ESPN.
Oh yeah, that's actually one of the more obvious ones. If you there's a massive list on Wikipedia that documents everything. For those that don't want to go and look through Disney's online portfolio.
I mean, who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah. It's an avid reading kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You've got Walt Disney Studios, which includes various animations, Lucasfilm, and the entire Star Wars universe now. They've got Marvel Studios. They've got Disney Theater, Disney Music, and they obviously own massive distribution rights for not just Disney content, but other content as well. Then you've got their consumer products and their interactive media, which includes games and apps and that kind of stuff. You've got Walt Disney Parks and Resorts, which you had the wonderful opportunity to go and visit one of these recently, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I went to Disney World in Orlando.
Was it magical?
That's one way to put it. You know, magic comes in many flavors. There's white magic and black magic, and I would put Disney in the latter category. Because I thought it was not a very good experience personally.
But why wouldn't you love a 10-foot rat running around and scaring the shit out of 3-year-old kids?
Oh, well, I didn't see that. But you know, I am not a child, so I don't really enjoy Disney that much. I was never a Disney kid in the first place. You know, I
were you ever actually a kid? Like,
when I was like 5, yeah.
I've read your tweets and I don't believe you.
Once I turned 6, I watched Dragon Ball, and then I became an adult, because kids watch Disney cartoons and adults watch anime cartoons.
Agreed. Like, I'll agree with you on that score. But I get the feeling that you were like post-pubescent at the age of 5 already. So,
yeah, I did start reading books when I was 5. So I was pretty pretty prodigious kid. But yeah, did not like Disney World. Everything was very expensive. The best part was Epcot, because you get all the food and booze. But that was weird too, because there are large mobs of adults, and when I say adults, I mean like middle-aged people, who go to Disney, go to Epcot to just get wasted, which I don't even understand how they can do that, because you have to wait like 20 minutes in line to get a beer, and then it's like 10 ounces. So how any of them
basically
manage
Disney
to consume
attracts.
Enough alcohol to get drunk there is just beyond my comprehension. On top of like how expensive it is to get a beer, it's like, you know,
there's only one rational explanation.
Okay.
Disney clearly attracts middle-aged alcoholic lightweights.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, like nothing
or,
else.
Or they all have pocket flasks, and I mean, it seems like they would check for that, but I don't know like how thoroughly they could search. They didn't like pat me down or anything, so I don't know. But fortunately, it's fairly fun hanging out with Diane's family and you know, her nephew, who is like 1. He's pretty cute. So
did he enjoy the ride?
He barely like rode anything. He mostly liked just running around. So
God, you know, this is my problem with kids today, is they're not critically engaging with the world around them, you know?
I know he doesn't even read books, dude. It's like geez, man, millennials are ruining society.
Exactly. Like, it's like you're reading my thoughts right now. Okay, so then moving on. Disney also has Disney Media Networks, which includes ABC Television. Like you said, ESPN. Mm-hmm. They also own Marvel Entertainment, which is not exactly the same thing as Marvel Studios. Marvel Studios does the major... The big movies.
Major films?
Yeah, the major films. Whereas Marvel Entertainment focuses on the TV shows and the extras.
Okay, I thought Disney owned like Black Panther and the Avengers and shit.
Yeah, they do. But that's under Marvel Studios. Whereas Marvel Entertainment focuses on stuff like Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and
wait, so does Disney owns Marvel Studios and Marvel Entertainment?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They own all of Marvel. They own all of Marvel.
Does that include the comics though, or no?
I'll be dead honest and say yes, it does.
Okay.
Sorry, I quickly had to pop it open to double check. I didn't want to give our listeners incorrect information. I mean, it basically all of Marvel. They own Marvel.
Okay.
Mickey Mouse did not skimp on that one. So yeah, they own Marvel. Then they've also got they've got international branches in Germany, Japan, India, and the Walt Disney Company Iberia, which I'm not even 100% sure what that does. They own several property holding companies. They own venture capital companies. They have financial companies. They have Chinese holdings. And then there's all the money they've made from selling off a whole bunch of the businesses that they've owned in the past. So, yeah. And that's not even including their actual corporate branches, which includes Earthstar Inc. It includes the Synergy Group. It includes Disney Worldwide Services, Disney Enterprises. They are a truly massive company.
Yep. And well established since they've been around since, like, what, 1900?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's face it, they are the, as far as I know, they're the only company whose founder is technically, thanks to cryogenic freezing, still alive. Technically.
That reminds me, one of my favorite Family Guy jokes was when they cut to Disney being woken up. And they're like, "Welcome back, Mr. Disney." And he's like, "Are the Jews gone?" And they're like, "Not yet." And he's like, "Put me back." It's a great joke.
No. And very accurate. Given Disney's actual history. Obviously, the people running it these days are not the same. But
to our knowledge.
Yeah, they're not that. Yeah, to our knowledge.
Yeah.
They also are not that different. So yeah, Disney itself, massive, difficult to even quantify exactly how massive the company is. However, from an investor's standpoint, Disney is what you would call a long shot, a long-term bet.
Yeah.
This is not, you're not
going
to make money.
I think I would call
them
a blue
money.
Chip stock.
Yeah. You're not going to make money overnight investing in them. Their stock price does not fluctuate like a Bitcoin price does. They are, for all intents and purposes, investing in them is a very long-term, stable investment. Ryan did some math on it the other day and realized that it's really not worth the energy to invest in them. Simply because the return is so slight that basically it's just a way to it would be a place to store your money more than anything else.
Yeah, I might do it anyway because I realized that the place where I could buy Disney stock is like right next to the Mexican restaurant that I go to all the time. So, you know, it's not that far out of my way. I'll just have to go in and be like, "Hey, sell me Disney shit. All right, bye. That's it."
Done.
I'm sure that's how it
works. Okay. Exactly. okay.
So should I talk about Netflix a little?
Yeah. Let's talk about Netflix a little bit.
Okay.
Now, I think you know more about Netflix than I do because you're American and will probably have been exposed to it for longer than I have.
Yeah. I know I stopped paying for them because they got rid of Futurama. So.
Holy shit. Yeah. Did they? That's the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's on Hulu now, though, in its entirety. Because, I mean, before, like, they had the whole thing for years, and then Fox took back their part of it, which was the first six seasons, I think, or maybe five seasons. And then it had Netflix still had six or seven through ten. Which were done by Comedy Central, and then at the beginning of this year, they got rid of the rest, and now Hulu owns all of it. I'm not sure why they got rid of the Comedy Central half. I haven't really looked into it. I'm sure it's some sort of M&A activity kind of thing.
Yeah, probably.
You know, whatever. But I might pick it back up because Diane keeps bugging me about stuff that she wants to watch on Netflix.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I enjoy a fair amount of content that is on Netflix at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like Jessica Jones just dropped again, season 2.
Yeah, is that any good?
I haven't started it yet, but I'm really happy that I have access because
oh, okay.
I will be starting it very soon.
I see. All right. So Netflix, obviously a much newer company than Disney. It was founded in 97. And as most of us know, they started off with just the DVDs through the mail. But since then, their main thing has been the streaming service. And so now they're actually one of the biggest content buyers. If you exclude sports entertainment stuff. Then they are right behind Disney in terms of the amount they spend on media content. In terms of internet businesses, they're the largest. But on the other hand, currently, according to their Q3 shareholder letter, they have no free cash to spend on anything, and they have quite a lot of debt. So their long-term debt as of the end of September 2017 was just under $5 billion, and their current content liabilities are over $4 billion. So they actually they expect to spend in 2018, they expect to spend $3 to $4 billion more on content than it gets in cash. But they're hoping that they can essentially just keep borrowing to, you know, spend on additional content and then like kind of push through to the point where they're cash flow positive again. But on the other hand, since that shareholder letter, Netflix stock has climbed from $199.50 per share to $280.31 per share in January. And that's largely because of, ironically, the movie Bright, which everyone was, it was like such a meme that everyone was making fun of it. And because added more subscribers than they expected in that quarter.
I think everyone jumped on to see what the fuck is everyone carrying on about.
Yeah. I think making it into a meme like made more people watch it than they would have, like almost like a Streisand effect, but not, you know, not quite the same thing. And I know at least two major lefty podcasts had episodes about watching it. So they probably inadvertently boosted the numbers for them. So that's really cool. I don't think we talked about it at all because I thought it was so stupid that it was not. Like, not even stupid, like, cool. Just, like...
Yeah, and unfortunately for me, I've pretty much stopped watching Will Smith stuff.
Oh, you didn't like Suicide Squad?
You mean Mr. Stevie Mnuchin's...
Yeah. No, I thought you kept telling me how much you loved it. I thought I remembered that.
Oh, you see, Ryan, you need to get the upgrade for your sarcasm filters.
Okay.
Okay. Otherwise, you're not going to always understand me, dude.
Well, you know, maybe you should use a /S at the end of your typing sentences so that I can actually know when you're being sarcastic. Because, look, buddy, it's hard to... hear sarcasm through the internet because I don't know what your tone of voice is.
Everyone knows that the actual punctuation for sarcasm is the upside down question mark.
Is it? Huh. I've literally never seen that before.
It's been proposed as a sarcasm punctuation, but nothing's ever been formalized.
Well, I think that's pretty... ethnocentric, since, you know, in what are Spanish people going to do? Did you think about that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Mostly because I don't know the. It's because I don't know the first thing about Spanish at all. At all. I am Germanic of origin. We don't do the Latino thing. I mean, can you imagine a German doing anything Latino?
Yeah, no, I could not imagine any German in like Argentina or anything like that. That seems a little too far-fetched to me.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, they're just too racist to do that, you know? I don't know.
you caught me off guard with that one. Oh God.
Okay. But yeah, I think actually now that I think about it, I think Wright was another one of the last straws for me in cutting Netflix, because it was just like, all right, really, this is what they're going with, the orc cop thing? That's stupid. But anyway, so yeah, like I said, in the January, I think, executives said the company will spend between $7.5 and $8 billion on content in 2018. They've also been signing exclusive deals with producers to create shows for its service. They'll have to keep borrowing to fund that spending. But again, they're betting that they will become cash flow positive again. And as a side note, I think this highlights how overly simplistic a lot of economic analysis is, because, you know, based on having a lot of debt and no cash, we'd assume that Netflix is really fucked. But we're discounting the fact that they can continue borrowing as long as investors are willing to give them a chance, and they can push through to capture enough market power to achieve some cash flow. And the very fact that the company's stock is still considered valuable is based on the expectation that it can actually do that.
Yeah. And let's face it, that at the moment, there's and not just at the moment, the last 2-3 years of Netflix, they have produced a shit ton of what would be considered original content. A lot of that then becomes something that they can get a full return on investment for, and then some, where there's no royalties that have to be paid out to any of the other big studios or anything like that. Yeah. It's literally a cash cow. So all they have to do is play the waiting game, and they should beat out most of the competition.
Yeah. And then lately, studio produced films are skipping theaters entirely and going straight to Netflix. Bright is actually one of the movies that did that. It was produced by, I don't know, some studio. I don't really care. And this other movie, Paradox, that I also haven't heard of because, like I said, I don't have Netflix anymore.
Oh, you Cloverfield Paradox.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so from this Hollywood Reporter article, it says, for a studio, the calculation to sell a title to Netflix is simple. Save face on a potential underperformer and make its accounting look good. Less than 3 years ago, a similar decision might be made to dump a movie in January or April or late August. Hope to gin up a little awareness, then make up some of the losses in DVD and ancillary sales. And one studio exec says Netflix has become the new ancillary market. So Netflix is the direct-to-DVD of the 21st century now.
Yeah, and the cool thing is that a lot of their content is a lot better than what's being done by some of the big studios going straight to cinema. So, in your face, big companies that do a lot of big cinema stuff that I won't go and watch.
I used to be really into following what movies were coming out, and in the last few years, it seems like every single movie that comes out is either a Marvel movie or a Star Wars movie.
For me, those are the only ones I'll actually go and watch in a cinema, because I've now got this thing where I've got a nice big screen TV at home. Like, it's big. And we got it for nothing. So I'd rather watch stuff that doesn't require major special effects. I'd rather watch that at home, where I don't have to pay a shit ton of money for popcorn and drinks and possibly be sitting in someone's chewing gum or, you know, like all sorts of crap that can happen in a movie theater. I'd For me, that's only worth it if I'm going to watch something like Avengers or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. My friends that I go to movies with insist on going to the Alamo Draft House, which is like, I don't know if you have them over there. It's basically like a movie theater combined with a really expensive bar. So they have like servers that come to your seat, and you know, you can order like meals and beers and wines and mixed drinks and stuff.
Okay, so except
so
for
even
the
more expensive
part,
than going to a regular movie theater.
Yeah, except for the alcohol part, pretty much every cinema here does that. But
okay.
But you pay more for those seats. So
oh yeah, no, that's the only type of seat they have in this theater.
Yeah, you get gold seats, platinum seats, and VIP seats. And VIP seats is where you get the full service, and platinum you get special deals when you buy your other stuff. And gold, you're just an average moviegoer. So yeah, we've got it, but it's the Middle East. We don't do alcohol as much as you guys do.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I mean, the tickets are already more expensive at the Alamo. So on top of like any food or drink that you get there is going to be more expensive, because not only are they charging you more, but you have to pay tip, but the tickets are also more expensive, which is really cool. So like a couple of the times I've gone there, it cost me like $80 to see the fucking movie, because I would get drinks, and Diane would get like dessert and soda, and then I would have to pay tip and all that shit. So,
yeah, no, our average spending for a movie would, for myself and my wife, works out with, drinks and popcorn and all of that shit put together, 3D movie works out to roughly $30.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been trying to minimize my movie going, at least to the Marvel Star Wars stuff. I don't even know if I want to see the Han Solo movie. It looks kind of stupid.
Man, I'm almost dreading the month of May, because you've got the Avengers Infinity War, then Han Solo, and then Deadpool 2, and I can't not go.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I'm stupid and obsessive.
Avengers. Yeah, I guess I'll see the Avengers, because I stuck through all those fucking post-credits things. Deadpool 2 might actually be good. I haven't seen any trailers for it, so I don't know if it's going to be good at all.
Oh, man, the trailer was brilliant. I loved it.
Oh, okay.
Mostly because they got to mock Justice League in it. And it was
okay. Well, that's cool. So I guess I'll see two of those. Yeah. Anyway, we're getting a little off track.
A little off track. So one of the reasons why I think that Netflix might be a good bet in the long run anyway, regardless of their debt issues or whatever, is, and I only found this out today, which is why you don't see any notes about it or anything, but apparently they've been in talks with the Obamas, Michelle and Barack.
Who are those guys?
They were, like 40, 50 years ago, they were president and first lady in the US. So, I mean, it's before your time. It's before your time.
Yeah, I've never heard of them.
And, they're in talks with Netflix about creating content for the streaming service. They have specifically said that it will not, none of the content will be in response to anything done by the president. But they want to push the same agendas that they do before. When I mentioned this
the
to
liberal
my wife,
agenda?
She was like, yeah, pretty much. when I mentioned it to my wife, she was like, oh yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. If there's one thing that Obama got roasted for the most, is the fact that he needed to get on with running the country instead of going on talk shows the whole time. He does give a good speech. You've got to give him props as an orator, but Yeah, this is kind of a predictable move that you have a former reality TV show person becoming president, and the former president then going into reality TV. Things are looking really good for United States, if only on an entertainment side.
Yeah, well, that is what the U.S. does best, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So one of the major factors in this conflict is the Disney-Fox merger.
Which has my inner geek squealing with joy and and my anti-capitalist inner geek going, Jesus fucking Christ.
So for those who don't know, Disney is in the process of acquiring 21st Century Fox. And I did not know this, but 20th Century Fox and 21st Century Fox are different companies. 20th Century Fox is the film producer, and they are a subsidiary of 21st Century Fox, which is just a multimedia company. So just before anything gets confusing, I wanted to mention that.
And it's a good thing you did, because things are about to get very fucking confusing.
Yes, they are. So I'll just go through the short notes that I have, and I know you have more that I can't see because they're written down.
Neener, neener, neener.
So the basics of this deal is 21st Century Fox is going to spin off Fox Broadcasting, Fox Sports, Fox News, and Fox Television stations into a new company, which is going to have an expected revenue of $10 billion. They are currently trying to acquire 61% of Sky, which for the Americans out there is the largest satellite TV company in Europe, which it already owns 49% of, and
39.
Yeah, 39. Well, you know, you got to try 110%, put in 110% effort. So that's what the calculation was. And so Sky will also be owned by Disney if and when this deal goes through. The deal is under regulatory review, which is expected to take about 18 months.
Which is standard.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, Disney's going to acquire the parts of 21st Century Fox that I did not list. So everything except for broadcasting, sports, news, and television stations. So it will also receive Fox's 30% stake in Hulu, which Disney already has a 30% stake in, so it'll get controlling share, with the rest being owned by Comcast and Time Warner. So I didn't know any of that. I thought Hulu was its own company, but apparently it's just a conglomerate of other media companies. It'll get a 50% stake in Endemol Shine Group, which is a Dutch production company that made shows such as Big Brother and Deal or No Deal, and brought about the conjunction of the spheres, unleashing the demons and monsters that now pervade our world through reality TV.
Yeah, I grew up with Endemol Productions on South African TV. They were responsible for most of the content I got to watch as a kid.
I see. Was it all Dutch language, or did they do English?
No. There was no language preferences. They did Afrikaans. They did English. They did local languages. They just had a major subsidiary in South Africa. So it wasn't Endemol Shine Group, group themselves. It was Endemol Productions, okay. South Africa. So yeah, I'm familiar with them.
Okay, and then they will also receive 100% of Star India, which is a satellite TV service, obviously in India. They will also get the last Marvel and Star Wars properties that are not already owned by Disney, which means X-Men and Star Wars: A New Hope, which is actually owned by Fox, surprisingly. I did not know that.
I did not know that either. My God.
Yeah. It'll also get some of 21st Century Fox's TV channels, such as Nat Geo and FX.
Oh, God. Well, maybe now Nat Geo will be able to do real content again, because they've been slipping.
Yeah, so, I'm a little bit worried about Always Sunny now, though, because I don't know if Disney's going to be wanting to own the most problematic show on TV.
Well, yeah. if they end up with Deadpool, which they're looking likely to,
yeah,
who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. So the deal overall is going to be, I think, is valued at $58 billion. So if you have money to invest in stock, Disney might not be a bad investment. Because they're about to make one of the largest mergers in history by acquiring 21st Century Fox. And so for this, 21st Century Fox shareholders will receive a 25% stake in Disney. So all you 21st Century Fox shareholders out there, you're about to get some Disney stock. So that should be good for you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Now, one of the reasons I think, and we're just going to be a little bit more serious now for just a second here. Because
I've been serious
the
whole time. I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought you were joking about half the shit that you were saying. But
no.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we
I don't
will
have
continue.
What you call a sense of humor, so.
Yeah. And you don't have the sarcasm filter on now, mostly because it's not upgraded. Shit. Anyway, so we will continue to be very serious now when we discuss the main reason why I got interested in doing this episode on Netflix versus Marvel was because this deal between Disney and Fox is very definitely, obviously Disney is doing it because it makes good business sense for them to do so. But one of the things that sort of gets lost in all of this is that Disney later this year is launching their own online streaming service.
Yep.
And in order for this streaming service to be successful, they need to incorporate stuff like Hulu, stuff like online sports. They need
they need their own cop movie.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not sure if they're going to get anything as good as Bright, but
no chance. Not without the star power of Will Smith.
Okay. So essentially, they needed something that will be able to compete with what is currently considered to be the leader of the pack in online streaming services, and that would be Netflix. And about 4 years ago, there was talks of them. There were rumors of them looking to purchase Netflix, but those rumors are now thought to have been started by Netflix themselves because it almost immediately shot their share price through the roof.
What a great trick.
At the time. at the time. A very similar thing has been happening in the last year or so with talk. With rumors circulating repeatedly that Apple would be buying Netflix. And every time the rumor springs up, Netflix's share price goes up a few dollars. And it is part of the driving force for why Netflix has seen a nearly 65% growth rate of its share price since the beginning of the year. But all in all, you've now, as I said right at the beginning, you've now got these two powerhouses that are getting ready to duke it out for market share online over the next few years. And in order for Disney to compete, they couldn't just, you know, start their own service from scratch and you know, be the tough little mouse that could. They need to play the capitalist game, and part of the capitalist game is sabotage. And part of that sabotage is to undercut any gains that Netflix have been making. One of the things that Netflix has been struggling with over the last few years is parental control. So Netflix, so Disney then jumps in and says, well, our streaming service won't have that problem because most of our content is nowhere near our ratings. So come on over to us, families, and everything will be fine. Obviously, there is Disney content that doesn't fit that description, but for the most part, they're not as reliant on parental controls as Netflix are. Netflix, in response now, is bringing out new parental control features that will allow them to control individual episodes of a series, and give parents the ability to stop their kids from listening to naughty words.
That's weird. That doesn't seem terribly useful to me.
Yeah.
Like how? Wouldn't parents have to like watch the episode, or is it just like
the way Netflix is doing it is they will give a brief explanation of why certain ratings and are put on for specific items, and they will then. As part of the description, they will then say what their advice is. Their advice, obviously, then being your standard restrictions based on age and so on and so forth. Obviously, this is still up to parents. Parents get to decide what their kids are exposed to and what their kids are not exposed to, which to me is a load of shit because the kids are going on Twitter and seeing things that are a lot worse anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Twitter, man, Twitter. I've been learning about Twitter in the last few weeks, and I'm afraid I can't even look back anymore.
Yeah, I forgot that Twitter basically lets you post porn as much as you want. So parental controls don't do much on the internet because the whole internet is out there. So good luck, parents. Yeah.
You want to keep little Johnny and little Susie safe and sheltered. Lock them in a cave and throw away the fucking key.
Plus, they got those weird child torture videos that they were talking about in the news on YouTube. Did you hear about that?
No. Do I want to?
Basically, there's like a bunch of accounts on YouTube that like make these weird videos where they like... it's not like torture, like Abu Ghraib torture. It's like they're just like... psychologically fucking with them or like locking them in cages or shit like that, and it's like the reason they were talking about it is because like the autoplay feature can have kids like end up on those videos and then like be traumatized by them, so pretty great stuff. Let's get back on track.
Disturbing. So I'm just gonna pretend I didn't hear any of that and just move right ahead. Okay, so then when I started digging around for why is Disney acquiring stuff, like as much as Netflix versus Disney is, it's an interesting topic. It's only mildly interesting. If you really think about it, it's two media houses doing what capitalist media houses would be doing regardless. There's no big surprise there.
Well, that's what we like to focus on here on Neighbor Science, is mildly interesting stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Slightly unusual, mildly interesting. I then found an article on bleedingcool.com.
That sounds like a cool website.
Yeah, no, I enjoy some of their content. It's fully loaded with ads all over the place. So don't go on there unless you have your ad blocker switched on. And I'll have Ryan link the article so that people can read it for themselves. But I want to give a breakdown of this article because they covered some interesting information that really piqued my interest. Okay, so... just as an intro here, I'm going to just quickly read the first paragraph. An interesting sequence of events began right after Thanksgiving last year at a place where a lot of presidential business has taken place in recent times. On November 27th, 2017, Marvel Entertainment chairman, major Disney shareholder, and top Trump political donor, Ike Perlmutter, and his wife had dinner with President Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. Everybody knows we love to track Ike's comings and goings here at Bleeding Cool, and I found Ike's expert, Rich Johnston's, post on the matter funny for the way he made it seem like Eric and Laura Trump and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross had been relegated to the kids' table so that Trump and Ike could have a serious adult conversation while they had dinner. Now, this is the kind of writing that I enjoy reading. It's slightly tongue-in-cheek, having a little bit of fun, but covering interestingly serious news.
I just can't believe how much time that President Trump guy spends at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Like, do your job. Come on, you're the president.
Yeah. How dare you not be going on talk shows and then later getting a Netflix deal so that you can do content production.
We need you in the Oval Office starting more wars, okay?
Trade wars are good.
This is not normal.
Trade wars are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except when they involve tariffs.
Yes, yes. No. And then it's bad.
Yeah. We need free trade because free trade benefits everyone, right? Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Equally.
Exactly. Free trade, everyone. like Clinton was saying. And
oh, yeah. That guy loved free trade.
Yeah. Yeah, he loved it. Okay. Now, what basically happened at this meeting with Ike Perlmutter is that he mentioned to Trump that what he was doing is thinking of buying Fox. And we all know how much Trump loves Fox News. So what Trump then did the next day was give a phone call to Rupert Murdoch of Fox News.
More like faux news.
The phone call probably would have gone something along the lines of, "Hey, dude, if you agree to this deal with Disney, I'll make things easy for you." And this is kind of evident in the fact that there's an actual quote that they provide saying, "Before the news broke that Mr. Murdoch had agreed to sell vast parts of his 21st Century Fox to the Walt Disney Company for $52.4 billion, Mr. Trump called him to get his assurance that the Fox News Channel, the highly rated cable network and frequent bullhorn of the Trump agenda, would not be affected." I'm not sure who exactly they're quoting there, but this starts to then build this little picture where suddenly in comes Donald Trump into this scenario and things start looking a little bit political. Why would Donald Trump be interested in having Disney purchase Fox? It doesn't make any sense, does it? Does it?
Probably wants to compete with that Obama show.
Ah, you think that's what it might be?
That must be it.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys remember this, but in back in 2009, 2010, there or thereabouts, what was his name? Del Rahim.
I have no idea.
I think it's Makan Del Rahim, I think he's now the guy in charge of the Department of Justice Antitrust Division.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Back in 2009 and 2010, he was a registered lobbyist for Comcast, which corresponds with the time that Comcast acquired NBC Universal from General Electric. Now, that deal was announced in 2009 and approved by the FCC on January 18th, 2011. A standard 18-month little run there. Actually, not even 18 months. It comes down to like 13 months. The thing that got me interested in this whole Disney-Fox merger and how it plays into the whole Disney Netflix thing was that there's a consolidation of power happening on the Disney side of things, while Netflix is desperately trying to grow as fast as possible to ensure that it has enough assets to weather the storm that is about to come its way. And in digging for information on the Fox Disney deal, I came across the BleedingCool.com website and an article they did entitled "Trump's Biggest Media Play Yet: Disney, Fox, Warner Brothers, Universal's Problems Have Just Begun." And basically, what happened was, Time Warner and AT&T are looking at a merger, and We all know that Trump doesn't like CNN because CNN doesn't say nice things about Trump.
Well, it's fake news.
Trump very rightly is trying to stamp out fake news from existence. And so before Trump had anything to say about it, everything was fine with this deal, with the AT&T Time Warner deal. So much so that the guy that runs the oversight of everything here, in the antitrust section of the Department of Justice, was basically saying a horizontal deal, and everything would be fine. He's got no problems with it from an antitrust perspective. Then Ike Perlmutter puts in an offer for Fox, has a word with the president, and then suddenly they're going, oh, no, this is a vertical deal, and it's got major antitrust issues, and it's no longer passing muster.
It's horizontal, it's vertical, I can't even keep up.
Exactly. So basically what's happening is that Trump has exerted influence on or colluded, or I'm not even sure what the correct terminology is here, where he basically has wielded power to ensure that a deal with AT&T and Time Warner, if it does ever go through, will take a lot longer than any kind of deal happening between Fox and Disney. Mm-hmm. By the time that deal goes through, Fox's new position in the market will provide them with a lot more clout than Time Warner has. And so this is the big crux of the deal for me. Would Fox have been purchased by Disney if it wasn't for Trump? Because it turns out that Fox turned down a Comcast offer that was made more or less the same time as the Disney offer, except it was nearly $10 billion more than was being offered by Disney. And fiscally, to shareholders, that wouldn't make sense at all.
Wait, so you said that Comcast offered to buy Fox?
Exactly.
Okay.
And Fox turned them down right after Donald Trump had a little meeting with Ike Perlmutter. So
now I do have to wonder what assets they were trying to buy, because maybe since, you know, Fox isn't selling completely to Disney, it is retaining a lot of what it has. I wonder what Comcast wanted to buy exactly. So maybe
okay. So the assets on the table, in both offers were essentially the same, including 20th Century Fox movie and TV studio, international pay TV properties, and some U.S. cable networks. So,
well, you know, maybe Fox just really loves family entertainment.
Yeah. Hey, who knows?
Shouldn't assume maybe there was collusion.
Yeah, because, maybe they just have a thing for rodents.
Because here's the thing about collusion, Peter. Companies can't collude for very long, before the free market puts a stop to it. So
that's true. That's how all monopolies have been prevented forever in the history.
Yeah, in a genuine free market, monopolies are impossible. They just can never happen.
Yeah. So, in the billions of years that humans have been around, it's never happened.
Yeah, maybe you should have taken economics 101, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm planning to. I'm not sure if I can live up to the standards of my peers.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll tell you what, Peter. You know, since the DOJ seems to be gumming up the works here. You know, I have a little in the DOJ through my employer. So tell you what I'll do. I'll have a little chat with them and, you know, see what I can do. Maybe I can pull some strings and, you know, get this AT&T Time Warner thing to get going, you know.
It's like maybe you could do that and then we could get some central news network to run the propaganda mill instead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just seems unfair to me that that the government is you know, preventing one monopoly but not another. So
yeah, they should allow equal monopolies to rise.
Yeah, that's only fair.
Yeah. Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. If you could get on that by the end of the episode, that would be great.
Well, they're not open today, so it'll have to be Monday. But I'll let you know. We will update everyone on the next episode.
Yeah.
What the situation is with that?
Good man.
Yeah.
Okay. Was there anything else you were looking to discuss specifically?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about what we think the outcome might be of this whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot about that.
Okay. Yeah. So my prediction is sort of a two-state solution, if I can use a metaphor here. I mean, from everything that we've talked about, it kind of seems like Disney would just crush Netflix with one hand. You know, they're highly diversified. They have way more cash than Netflix does. You know, they have a huge number of properties that they own. They have their vast library of animated movies. They have all the Star Wars stuff. Oh, and one thing we forgot to mention was that recently Disney hired Jon Favreau, director we've mentioned here before, to direct a Star Wars TV show. And that's going to be on their streaming service, I believe. And then
I'm not going to lie. I'm genuinely excited to see that series because a big part of me hopes that it continues on the story of Star Wars Rebels, which I'm a massive fan of, and now I'm gonna keep quiet.
Okay, so yeah, they have all those assets we mentioned earlier. You know, they have a bunch of extra cash, probably way less debt than Netflix, and then Netflix is not in the best position right now. So it seems like Disney would just destroy Netflix. But there's a couple of factors that make the outcome less obvious, in my opinion. For one thing, the diverse assets of Disney don't really account for much in terms of, you know, acquiring market share in the streaming market. So just because they have all this other stuff doesn't mean that, you know, that's going to help them take over the streaming market. And then Disney and Netflix, as we've already alluded to, they target somewhat different demographics. So Disney is obviously more family oriented, but it does have its Marvel and Star Wars properties to go on. And then Netflix targets more adults, probably more, you know, millennials without families.
I think. As shown by that very risque Bright.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I did not enjoy the hardcore sex scenes in that movie. I thought that was a little much.
Yeah. I don't mind them screaming out "Pixie lives don't matter," but
was it fine.
Sherry?
I think when Will Smith and the orc Eiffel Towered lady, that was a little excessive. But I don't know. Apparently,
I now can't watch fisting porn anymore.
Yeah, it really makes it a lot worse when it's an orc fist, doesn't it?
Exactly.
It's kind of gruesome.
My God.
You know?
My God.
It's like seeing Goatsy for the first time. third factor, there's the rumors that Netflix will be acquired by Apple. And thanks to the Trump tax cuts, Apple will have an additional $200 billion to spend because it's going to be repatriating a lot of the cash that it has overseas.
To be fair, though, Apple isn't known for any kind of acquisitions. I think the last one they did was that music, the audio company. I can't remember what they're called.
I don't know.
A few years ago, it's one of their only acquisitions, to be honest.
Here's the thing, though, is that, you know, Apple was under the tenure of Steve Jobs for the longest time, and now it's under what the fuck is his name? Tim Cook. And I don't think it has been doing very spectacularly in the last year or two. The Apple Watch sucks. Nobody wants smartwatches because they're garbage. And
as we have said on the show multiple times, after the iPhone X, it's downhill from there.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, on, you know, even though we make that joke, this is a problem with all smartphones. You know, the thing about new smartphones is the main thing that has been changing is like the screen size has been growing.
Yeah, there's nothing new about it.
They're approaching the limits of how big you can make a screen. There's less of a reason to buy a new smartphone going forward.
Have you watched that show I told you about, Corporate?
No, I haven't.
Have to watch it.
I didn't even see what service it's on. So,
I don't even know. I'll look it up and I'll tell you. But, oh my God, in one of their first episodes, they do a tablet that's like literally... it's the size of the Mona Lisa painting. it's fucking ridiculously huge.
It's pretty funny. I think Apple is going to be hitting a wall soon in terms of how much it can grow, because they're not going to be able to increase their phone sales a whole lot.
Especially since they can't really break into the Chinese market. They can't really compete with the Chinese smartphones, mm-hmm. and their facial recognition software is racist towards Chinese people.
That's awesome. and then also, like, the I think the age of apps we've hit peak app like a while ago. I don't think there's much potential for growth there because people sort of realize that apps are stupid and really pointless, and phone games are pretty much all the same, you know.
Yeah, nothing changes there, man.
Yeah. We've realized that you can't do real games on a smartphone like traditional style video games, so that there's only a few different types. You know, there's the puzzle matchers like Candy Crush and that kind of shit. And then there's the idle games, which are literally just like you tap the screen and like get points and build up some shit. And then there's like hidden object games, which get pretty repetitive. And then there's probably a couple types that I'm missing, but those are the basic ones. And there's I don't think there's any new ones coming out anytime soon. Nothing's revolutionary is going to happen in the app market. And then laptops, you know, I don't think they've been gaining incredible market share in the laptop sphere. So what else are they going to do? I think the only thing they can do is break into streaming, which does still have, obviously there's this competition going on there. So, I don't think them acquiring Netflix is completely out of the question. It is just a rumor. So, you know,
it is just a rumor. And, from everything that I've read, a lot of the traders are busy saying it's not going to happen. There's no chance of it happening. But I mean, these are the same people that couldn't fucking predict the rise of Bitcoin. So
yeah, I mean, I did read Goldman Sachs saying that it could happen. Maybe
yeah, those are the same guys that didn't tell you that they were busy planning the 2007 recession. So I take them with a pinch of salt too.
I think they're pretty trustworthy.
Yeah, as far as capitalists go. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
And then the last factor is, I think this is the most important one, is that building a streaming service is not a trivial matter, even if you're a massive company with lots of money to throw at it. Amazon Prime Video streaming is reportedly pretty clunky and just not good. And Netflix is incomparably superior in its performance. And Amazon has had a lot more time to build streaming infrastructure than Disney has, and Netflix vastly more so. And to really highlight the difficulty, Amazon already had a massive content distribution network for its other services to build off of for the streaming service, and it's still not that good.
Yeah, and they still suck.
Yeah.
The only thing is that I'm now thinking about it, and it makes a lot of sense. I do know that George Bezos was throwing tantrums last year, round about this time, screaming that he demanded that his Amazon Prime Video streaming service and the Amazon Studios, basically, he was demanding that they come up with a show that can compete with Game of Thrones. And and okay. Yeah, they really haven't managed to hit that target. And so
pretty shocking that they didn't manage to do that.
Yeah, I know you don't like the show. I've been watching it since it first came out. I've watched all of it.
No, I mean, I know I don't like the, you know, I don't like the show, but I can acknowledge that it's an incredibly popular show that they have no chance of competing with.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't just say like, "All right, we need a Game of Thrones pronto." And then somebody's going to be like, "Oh, actually I've had a Game of Thrones this whole time." And I was just waiting for the right moment to bring it up.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, Game of Thrones didn't become popular because it was a particularly well-written story or because it was particularly compelling television or anything like that. It became a cultural phenomenon in much the same way that Disney managed to run a marketing campaign for Black Panther that took a concept that had already essentially been done. Black Panther is not the first black superhero movie. Blade and Wesley Snipes did that over a decade ago quite successfully. They didn't touch on the political topics. They didn't go into the same frame of mind that a lot of America is in right now. Where racial tensions are at a kind of media awareness level unlike during the time of Blade.
Well, when did Blade come out? That was, what, when Clinton was president, right?
I can't remember now.
Because somebody's pointed this out. I can't remember where I heard it, but basically...
98, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So when there's a Democrat in office, the social justice type media is much more muted than when there's a Republican in office. So Hollywood likes to go crazy with the social justice stuff when there's a Republican in office because they hate Republicans. And so now that there's a openly racist president, they're gonna bank on the race stuff. And I kind of think all these think pieces and stuff that were coming out about Black Panther from, like, you know, whatever the white liberals and then the blavity blacks. I think a lot of that was probably astroturfing for the movie to drum up popularity and
get because
black people to come out to see it, because I don't even know if Black Panther was that popular with black people prior to this movie, because it is it's a Jack Kirby superhero.
Like Jewish white guy, come on. So in essence, I don't think that we'll see Apple buy Netflix. I think if anything, Jorge Benzos is going to throw his toys out of the cot and do his damnedest to try and buy Netflix instead. But I don't think that's going to happen until after online Walmart has bought offline Walmart. So,
yeah, when they become the first $1 billion or $1 trillion company, which is right about to happen, because all they have to do is get another $500 billion in market cap, no problem.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's easy. Everyone knows it's easy.
Hey, I'm capitalizing here. That's what New York guys say, right?
Come on, get with the capitalization program, you know. Now open the door.
You see me trying to invest here, you know? You're always getting in my way when I'm trying to do investments. That's how they talk there.
Yeah, 100%. 100% accurate.
Yeah.
I would also like to apologize to any New York-based listeners we have for Ryan's extremely offensive accents.
What's offensive about it? I think it's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, buddy. I'm sure you do, you offensive offender.
Okay. I mean, I obviously don't think that, you know, everyone in New York talks like that. Just all the white people that live there. So.
Yeah, look, obviously the Californians that are visiting don't talk like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. So did you have anything about the potential outcome of this conflict that you wanted to
add? Yeah. That was it. I think Amazon is eventually going to buy it, and then the war will be on. Okay. And there's no prediction for who would win between online Walmart and the House of Mouse.
Oh, I think online Walmart will win.
I don't know why you would think that, though. The House of Mouse is notorious for being able to actually wield power rather than just make it onto the top of the billionaires list for Forbes.
Well, I mean, I think Amazon has demonstrated its ability to wield power pretty effectively with the thing that we were talking about with them destroying small businesses using their data analytics. And then, you know, also the fact that
But now we're talking
Benzos
about
owns the Washington Post, and so he can essentially like make them set a narrative that a lot of people will just buy into without question. So
okay, you want my true prediction for what's going to happen here?
Sure.
Is that Amazon is going to acquire Netflix and then merge with Disney.
Well, that would be unprecedented, but we'll see.
Well, yeah. What's going to happen then is that they will form a new entity called By and Large, and
yeah, that'll be the day.
Oh God, I really just want to live next to Wall-E. That's all I really want from life.
You want a trash planet? You want the planet to die? Is that what you're saying?
And I'm saying the planet's already dying, and I just want a little robot friend to help me fix things.
Well, I guess that's all we have then.
I don't mind even being reincarnated as a cockroach. You know what I mean? Although my wife would hate that.
Yeah, she probably wouldn't like it very much.
Mostly because she's got a cockroach phobia, like a major one. Yeah. So yeah, maybe that's not the best idea. At least I hope that she will stop listening right now when I say that I really wish that would happen to me.
All right. So tune in next week. We're going to be doing another anime episode. Been doing way too much work on this one, so I think it'll be pretty good.
Okay, yeah, don't tell them what we're doing, even though I already have earlier in the show. But don't tell them again, because people have short memory span.
I got to get people excited, you know? Plus, I'm trying to make this into like an anime episode. You know, at the end of every anime, they say what's happening next week. And then they say, tune in next week for the next episode of Dragon Ball Z.
Even though we are watching Evangelion.
Yeah, I mean, they use the same voice clip for everyone.
I always wonder if those guys get confused. Like, what show are they busy narrating today?
Yeah, they just have one guy doing like all the on the next episode bits for like every show dub.
All of them. Yeah, it's all exactly the same guy.
Yeah, and even if it's in the character's voice, it's just the guy imitating the character.
And I also think that's the same guy that does the voiceovers for the Honest trailers.
Yeah.
On Screen Junkies.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you like our show, go on iTunes, give us a review. I would prefer it be 5 stars, maybe even 6. But you know, it's really up to you. Except don't give us a 1 or a 2 or a 3 or a 4. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at NeighborSciPod. You can find out when new episodes come out, although we've been releasing them pretty regularly on Monday, Sunday Monday at midnight. Recently, we're on Facebook. Our page is just called Neighbor Science. Did I actually say the Twitter account name? It's at Neighbor SciPod. And then I am at handle of Rye with no E. And Peter is at Bookcheekite.
Don't let him fool you. Handle of Rye does have an E in there. It's just not at the end.
Yeah, that's true. And then we have a Patreon, patreon.com/neighborscience. We don't do bonus episodes currently, but I do put some outtakes on there. So if you want to hear stuff that got cut out to keep the show at a reasonable length of time, you can hear them there. I'll probably put the 10 minutes of dead air that we had in this episode on there as an outtake. That'll be really good for the subscribers to listen to.
Yeah, great. Yeah, and then basically Ryan just puts stuff up on Patreon that shows how stupid I really am and how much he has to edit to make me sound smart.
Yeah, and also any of my hot takes about racial issues that, you know, I say during the show, and then I'm like, I'm probably going to sound like a fucking dumbass if I actually like put this out there. So I cut it, and yeah, you can listen to it there. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Bye.
Later.